Let's pray as we open our heart to God's Word. Father, I just thank you that you are faithful to meet us here. You are faithful to speak to us. And Father, I pray this morning that you'd help me, Lord, to say exactly what you'd have me to. I ask you, Father, that this morning we would hear your word as it is, the word of the living God, a living word, a powerful word to speak into our lives and change us. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Read about one young couple that was very much in love. They decided that they were going to get married. And as so often happens, the bride was a little nervous. And so the pastor decided that he would have a special scripture read at the ceremony to encourage her. And he thought it would be a good idea to have the best man read it. And so he told the best man, he said, "I want you to read 1 John 4:18. Well, when the ceremony started and the best man came up to read the special word of encouragement for the bride, it was supposed to say, "Perfect love cast out fear." 1 John 4:18. But he didn't realize that there was more than one John in the Bible, and so he read from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 18, which says, "You've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." Needless to say, that wasn't the encouragement that that bride needed. I know somebody here this morning, you're thinking, there's more than one John? Wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, I want you to understand, in the body of Christ, we're all in this together. That's the way it's supposed to be. We are all still growing, all still learning what it means to truly follow the Lord Jesus and live for Him every day and fulfill His plan and purpose in our life. We're in a series right now called One Another, and it is about learning how to relate to one another and treat one another the way that the Scripture says to. If we do that, we can be the church as Jesus intended it to be. And if we do that, we can have a greater impact on this world that we live in. Our vision as a church is to see lives changed. It is to see people become disciples of Jesus, to truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Our goal is not just to get a big crowd out. Our goal is not just to see how many people we can get to pray a prayer. No, our goal is to see lives change, to see people really serving God for the rest of their life. In John 15 and 8, Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples." I want you to know that Jesus cares about fruit because he cares about souls. Each one is somebody that he died for. And so he wants us to be fruitful. And he says this, "So you will be my disciples." And here's the point, is that disciples bear fruit. Disciples make disciples. That's the way it's supposed to be. In John 15 and 16 is a similar verse, but he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." Our fruit is supposed to remain. I don't want to see people just get in church for a little while and then they're gone. They're back out in their old way of life, living the same old life and headed for trouble. I want to see people serving God 10 years from now. I mean, if the Lord tarries 20 years from now, they're still serving God, fulfilling the call of God on their life, still doing what God wants them to do, and they're blessed and their family's blessed, and they themselves are fruitful and making disciples. That's the way it's supposed to be. Our fruit should remain. We're not in this for a little flash or just to see, you know, if we can make a splash. We're here to see people's lives change for eternity. And consider this. Especially here in the Bible Belt, the majority of the people that you know, that you cross paths with, actually believe in Jesus. And consider this, especially here in the Bible Belt. Even though the majority of the people you know believe in Jesus, the majority of the people you know don't go to church. Somewhere around 30 to 40%, depending on the area, go to church. Why is that? How did that happen? There are so many at one point in their life, they accepted Jesus. They made a commitment to serve the Lord. And yet, for one reason or another, they no longer are actively going to church, serving the Lord, growing in the Lord, fulfilling all that God has for them. You ask them to church, and sometimes you get this answer. They say, oh, I have a church. I have a home church. They may not have been there in 10 years, but they have a home church in case they need to be married or buried. They got a home church. That's not what church is about. And some of them, I think, you know, they have a home church kind of like some young, attractive women wear a wedding ring even when they're single. They use it to ward off some of the guys. And they say, well, I have a home church just because they're trying to get rid of you from asking them to go to church. But I'm just telling you that Jesus wants them to be involved in the body of Christ. He wants them to have relationships with other believers. He wants them to be fulfilling His call and purpose in their life. He wants them to be growing in the Lord. Here's the point I really want to make. All these people that have made a commitment to God at some point in their life, and they were sincere, and yet today, they're not really serving God. And most churches lose people just as fast as they gain people. There's a revolving door. New people coming in and people leaving. And I know that in our culture that maybe some of them are just going to another church, but many of them get lost in that revolving door. And let me tell you, this is not about numbers. This is about souls. Because every person that leaves, that's a soul that God cares about, that He wants to stay close to Him. He wants that person to keep growing. So we as a church need to do what the Scripture says in order to stop that revolving door. See, I'm going to say it one more time. Church growth, it's not just about numbers. It's about souls. But a lot of church growth is not just about getting people to come. Did you know you can do big advertising campaigns and get people to show up for a while? You can do some big event, some big, you know, splash and get somebody to... But what really matters is if they stay and are discipled and grow in the Lord. And to do that, you got to close that revolving door. Now, we're going to talk about how we can do that this morning. One of the most powerful, practical ways that we can help people keep serving God, keep growing in the Lord, is to encourage one another. We're going to read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. I can tell y'all really excited about that. I heard all the shouts about encouraging one another. I hope you feel a little bit differently about it after we look at this in the Word of God. But Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, and I'm going to read it in the NIV, and I'll explain why in just a moment, but he says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Now, in the King James and the New King James, both of them use the word exhort. How many of you, besides quoting a scripture, how many of you have used that word exhort in your conversation this week? Anybody? Most of us probably never use the word exhort unless we're reading it from a scripture. And so it had a little bit different meaning when it was first translated that way. And usually when you talk about exhorting someone, you kind of think about being preachy. I'm a preacher. And believe it or not, sometimes I can be kind of preachy. Preachy and encouragement are not the same thing. In fact, I'm pretty good at being preachy, and I'm not real good at being an encourager. I'm learning. I'm preaching to me this morning just as much as I am to you. But I want you to understand this word a little better. I just don't think exhort gives us a full picture of this word. The word here that in the NIV is translated encouragement, it is the word parakaleo, and it comes from two words, which are near and to call, but it is very similar to the noun paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete. That is the word that is translated as comforter or helper. This word that we are translating as encourage is the verb form of that same word. And you need to understand that the Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter, did you know He uses people? Did you know that if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you? And the Holy Spirit will use you to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now that word paraclete was a word that would have been used to describe the person who fights behind a Roman soldier. In other words, that soldier who has your back. And you see, as believers, we're supposed to have each other's back. We're supposed to be watching out for one another, taking care of one another. And I just want to say right here at the beginning of this, we read this verse from chapter 3, verse 12. He says, "See to it, brothers, we have a responsibility for one another, to help one another." Encouragement may not seem like a real spiritual thing. It may just seem more relational, but I'm telling you, it is a spiritual thing. It can make the difference in whether or not somebody makes it. The word does mean exhort or urge, and I want to give you an example of that from the scripture. Romans 12:1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And certainly the Apostle Paul is urging them, and we need to urge one another. And we need to encourage, urge one another to do the right thing. Encourage one another, urge one another to really serve God with the whole heart. It's also used when Jesus says in Matthew 5:4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." That's the same word again, and part of encouraging is comforting. When people are going through a difficult time, when somebody is hurting, that's how we encourage one another. We comfort one another. It's the same word that's used in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, when it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us." That's the same word. But I want you to get the rest of this. He says, "In all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God." Listen, we're supposed to encourage one another, comfort one another. This is just a part of who the church is and what it's supposed to be like. It's not just a little side issue. No, it's really important in the body of Christ that we learn to encourage one another. The English word is pretty simple. In courage. It is putting courage in. And I'm telling you, if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to need courage. If you're going to keep your life right, live right in this world we live in, you're going to need courage. If you're going to go against the flow of culture, it's going to take courage. See, if you're going to train your children up the way the Bible says to, you're going to have some courage in this generation. When the Lord told Joshua to take the children of Israel into the promised land, in Joshua 1:9, he says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage?" Listen, the promised land was there before them. And Joshua knew that it belonged to them, that God had promised it. But he needed courage to do what God was telling him to do. In fact, the Lord told him three times to have courage. And we need courage to do the things God wants us to do, to live the way he wants us to live. And so it's powerful when we put courage in one another, when we encourage one another. Pastoring a church is not always easy, and I'll just give you a little bit of this background. I know to some of you this will be new. You probably haven't never heard this, but 14 and a half years ago when I came back to Pastor Grace, it was not an easy decision. It's always easy to obey the Lord, but I knew that it was going to be a challenge to follow Pastor Harold Nichols, who pastored this church for 50 years. I knew that there's no way that I could fill his shoes, and I knew that not everybody was going to like me. And can you believe it? I was right. Not everybody liked me. And so it was actually for about 3 years that Brother Nichols kept asking me, I want you to come back to the church. I want you to come back to the church. And I kept saying, well, I'm just going to pray about it. Well, I guess he was praying for me because the Lord finally put it on my heart and impressed me that that's what I was supposed to do. And when you know that God is in it, you know it's going to be all right. But I want you to hear this, though. I needed courage. I needed encouragement. And so, Brother Nichols, almost every time I would see him, or once a week or so, he would kind of get me alone by myself for just a minute, and he would say, I know what you're going through. I've been there. I'm for you. I'm praying for you. And many of you know Brother Al Strickland that passed away this year. He also was a pastor for over 50 years. Every time I'd see Brother Strickland, he would say, we appreciate your ministry. You're doing a good job. And I'm just telling you, I would feel so encouraged. I would feel strengthened. I would feel loved as these men of God, great men of God, would encourage me. And since they've gone on to be with the Lord, I tell you, the Lord has blessed this church with many great encouragers. You know, sometimes preachers, they say they preach a ringer, and sometimes it's a dud. You know, sometimes it just doesn't go that well. And when I have one of those days where I'm thinking, man, that didn't go very well, I look for my sister-in-law, Carla, because I know she's always going to have something good to say about the message. She'll find a way to say something good about the message. The Lord's blessed us with new people coming in. One of those is Greg Rosario. What a blessing. Every time I talk to him, he has nothing but encouraging things to say. Always blessing, always lifting up. And I just want to tell you, that helps. We need courage, and we're putting courage into one another when we encourage that way. We all need it. We live in a world that's so discouraging. Discouraging situations, discouraging things about our economy, our culture, all kinds of bad news we're hearing all the time, and so many discouraged people. Without question, the number one reason why believers stop going to church, stop growing, stop being used of God, stop making a difference is because they got discouraged. Now, that discouragement can happen a lot of different ways. Maybe they got hurt. Maybe there were some big disappointments. Things didn't go the way they thought that it would. Maybe there were some personal struggles or failures. Maybe they just got weary. But the end result of all of those things was this: they got discouraged. And there is a solution. There's an answer for discouragement. It's encouragement. It's encouraging one another. There's always going to be problems in our world. There's always going to be disappointments. There's always going to be trouble. There's always going to be times when people get hurt. There's no perfect church because we're all human and we all make mistakes. So I'm just telling you that we're not going to stop all of the problems and all of the trouble in this world. Some people are looking for that gospel, but it's not real. But what is real is that we can encourage one another and help one another overcome through all of the struggles and disappointments and hurts if we'll just be obedient to do His word. It's amazing how often we think in life, well, I got an idea, but how about if we just did what God said? In fact, what if we did what God said and He stepped in? You know, when Jesus did His very first miracle, Mary told the servants, whatever He says to you, do it. Jesus tells them to fill the water pots. They fill the water pots. He turns the water into wine. What if God did a miracle in somebody's life just by us doing the simple act of obedience of encouraging them? See, you can say, well, I don't think that's going to do anything. Let's just obey God and see what happens. Because simple obedience, God can take that and turn it into a miracle. So we need to put aside our ideas and how we think it ought to work. I'm telling you that the ways of man fail. God knows what He's doing. And it's in the Scripture for a reason. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us, encourage one another daily. It can be absolutely life-changing. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, first of all, he says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. So even in the first century church, there were people that thought it wasn't necessary to come together as church and come together and be encouraged. But he tells us that we should never forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I'm just going to tell you this plain and simple. I know that there is this attitude in church culture today that I don't really need to go to church. It's just me and Jesus. They didn't get that from the Bible. And nobody will ever reach their full potential in what God wants them to do and how God wants them to be used and how the Lord wants to grow them, not being a part of a local body of believers. It is the way He has designed it. And so we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. See, you just can't really fulfill the one another's of the Bible by yourself. It involves other people. And you can't really be encouraging one another if we're not coming together. But then he says, encourage one another. See, you could sit home this morning in your pajamas, on the couch, with your feet up on the coffee table, sipping your coffee, and watching a great preacher, a superstar who's way funnier than that Pastor Mark guy. And you could probably pause while you go to the bathroom. Let me tell you what you can't get. Church. Because church is not just a service, a preacher that you watch. Church is people. We come together not just so we can hear somebody talk and hopefully they'll tell something funny, but we come together to encourage one another, to be with our brothers and sisters, to build each other up. And every time we come together, whether it's here or in a small group or just people getting together throughout the week, we ought to be encouraged. We ought to leave feeling stronger, feeling better. It's important how we need that. That's why so many don't make it, is they're missing that. When we come together, encourage one another, it helps us to be ready for the stuff of life, all of the things that the trouble, the challenges that come our way. We all need that. And somebody may be thinking, yeah, why doesn't somebody encourage me? I just want to tell you, this message is not for somebody else, it's for you. Encourage. Be an encourager. Treat other people the way that you want to be treated. It's amazing, though, how that when you encourage others, that you yourself will be encouraged. Proverbs 11:25 says, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." So you just start encouraging other people, and I'll tell you, the Lord will bless you. He will help you. He'll give you strength that you need, the encouragement that you need. There is such a great need in the body of Christ for encouragement. People who are discouraged lack the confidence, the enthusiasm, the conviction to do what God wants them to do. It keeps people from doing the will of God, keeps people from serving. Many times it causes people to go back on their commitments and even give up on their dreams. We got to encourage one another. Make it a daily part of our lives. You're sure not going to get much encouragement from the world. Jesus said, "They hate me, and they're going to hate you." When we come together, it ought to be totally different than the way it is in this world. In a very practical way, you see, we can make it totally different. I'm talking about church. We can make it totally different from anything in this world if we just encourage one another daily. Always be seeking to build up, to strengthen, to put courage in, to comfort. Our pastor's wife is a great encourager. She encourages me all the time about my preaching, my teaching. She encourages me in other ways too. She tells me how good looking I am. Why do they laugh when I say that? I'm going to need some encouragement a little bit later. And she tells me how strong I am. You know, it doesn't have to be something heavy or hard to do. If I just strain, she'll say, "You're so strong." You know, we go on vacation or something, and I got 4 suitcases. And here she comes with her purse. How did that happen? How did she get me so well trained? "You're so strong." It works. You see, many times we want to change people by complaining, by criticism, by fault finding. And I'm not saying that there's never a time for correction. There certainly is. But we need to understand that encouragement is very powerful. It brings out, it helps develop the best in people. It stirs it up inside of them. You know, the world's kind of caught on to this principle a little bit. They call it positive reinforcement. And I will just clarify, sometimes children need a little more than positive reinforcement. But the principle of positive reinforcement is right. You need to encourage. You need to find what people are doing right, what they're doing good, and build them up. Encourage them about that. We all need encouragement. And one of the best ways to see somebody's behavior change is through prayer and encouragement. That's what works. such power in your words. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, your words have an impact. We all know that words can be so hurtful, so destructive, but the right words, encouragement, can also build up. They can heal. They can bring faith. And for us personally, when you encourage other people, you're not only changing, helping their life, you're making a difference in your own, because believe me, so much of our life, where we live, what we, the circumstances of our life, are a result of the words of our mouth. There's great power in your words. So you encourage and you build up. It makes a difference. Who needs encouragement? Everybody. The teenager who's struggling with their grades, they need to be encouraged. The one who's waiting for the right person that God has for them before they marry, they need encouragement. They don't need Sister Sad Sack to come tell them, now you know you're getting on up there and there's not any good ones left. You better just take the first one that comes, get what you can get. I hear that kind of stuff and I just want to go confront them, not encourage them, but say, what's the matter with you? Is that what you did? Encourage somebody who's trying to obey God and make the right choices. Encourage them. Realize there's probably somebody criticizing them, giving them a hard time, so encourage them. People are trying to do right, trying to serve God. Listen, the person who has stepped into a new area of ministry, did you know it is almost never like you think it's going to be? There's always problems. There's always opposition. There's always things that come up. Those people need to be encouraged. If they make it through that, a lot of times they'll be all right. But man, when you first start into something, it can be challenging. It can be so difficult. Some people have been serving the Lord in an area of ministry for many, many, many years. You know what they need? They need to be encouraged. Because there's a lot of people that over time, they eventually get weary. They get burnt out. And sometimes, and I'm not saying that you can't ever take a break, but I'm just telling you that sometimes they say, well, I'm going to take a break, and you know what? They never come back. They got discouraged. Somebody needs to keep them encouraged. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them how much of a difference they're making. Don't take them for granted, but encourage them. The one who's going through a long-term illness, oh, how they need encouragement. I'm a fix-it guy, and I like to tell people, well, just do this and just do that. Did you know that don't fix everything? Not everything is that simple. If somebody's lost a job, we don't kick people while they're down. We don't kill our wounded. We lift up our brothers and sisters. We help them. We encourage them. We all need it daily. Maybe we can survive without it, but how much more can we be individually and as a church encouraging one another? Who's supposed to do it? All of us. Now, if you're a spiritual person, then you certainly ought to take the initiative to be an encourager. But all of us, this is so simple that all of us can do it. I want to go back to Hebrews 3, 12 and 13 one more time. He says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. I want you to notice these phrases here. See to it, none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The first thing he says is he says, see to it, brothers. See to it. Make sure. Take responsibility. See to it. This is on all of us. See to it that nobody turns away from the Lord. That nobody gets taken in by the deceitfulness of sin. We got to see to it. You know what people always say in our time, our culture, and church culture of the day? Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. People are so clueless. Yes, that is in the Bible. Am I my brother's keeper? Do you know who said it? Cain said it to God when he killed his brother. Not exactly the example you want to follow or the person you want to be quoting in your life for why you don't care. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are our brother's keeper. I know this is different from the attitude of culture, but we are our brother's keeper. Now, ultimately, everybody has a free will, and they can choose to serve God or choose not to serve God, and they won't be able to stand before Jesus and say, well, it's their fault that I didn't serve God. We know that. But I also know this, that we do have a responsibility to do what the Scripture says, to encourage one another daily. That is on us. That is our responsibility, that we have to do our part. There's two implications here in this verse of Scripture that I think we have to keep before us. The first one is that those that we know that are serving God and seem like maybe they're doing good, there is the potential that one day they could turn away from the Lord. If you don't see it, read the verse again. He says, see to it that none of you turns his heart away from the Lord. And I can assure you that if you would have told me today that some of the people that I knew 10 years ago serving God would today no longer be in church, no longer be serving God, not raising their family to serve the Lord, I would have been shocked. Some of the people you know will not be serving the Lord if we don't do our job. We have a great responsibility. And that's the second implication, is that here's his answer for this. See to it. And how does he say to see to it? Here's his answer. Encourage one another daily. Oh, could it be that simple that we could make such a difference in the lives of other people and in the church just by encouraging one another daily? Powerful. I think that people just ought to be more committed. I preach commitment. Jesus preached commitment. He said things like, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He said, you got to count the cost. I believe that people need to make a decision, make a real commitment to serve the Lord. But did you know that a lot of the time people make commitments and they don't keep them? And when I was a lot younger and more cynical, I thought, well, they just aren't sincere. But over the years, I've watched and I've learned that so often their tears were real. Their commitment was sincere. And they prayed the prayer and they turned their life over to God and they really wanted to live for God. Somewhere along the way, they just got discouraged. And I'm just telling you that we can make the difference in other people's lives. Don't take for granted how they're doing spiritually, but instead encourage one another. See to it. Build each other up. This world is always going to discourage. The devil works overtime to try to get Christians discouraged. So we need to build each other up all the time, daily. Well, you know, I don't want them to get in pride. We got to keep them humble. Not your job. Your job is to encourage and to build up. And I'm not talking about flattering people, but I'm talking about strengthening each other, building them up instead of tearing down. Not only do we encourage one another by the things that we say to one another, We also encourage one another by the way that we talk in our conversation. You see, a lot of believers are so caught up in the negative tone of the world. Well, this world's just going to hell in a handbasket. I don't even know what that means, but it doesn't sound good. But so many believers, all they talk about is how things are going from bad to worse. It's awful. It's just terrible. There's nothing going right in this world. We don't know what we're going to do. Blah, 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 blah. Don't you feel better? That's not encouragement. That's discouragement. What we're supposed to say is our God is enough. Our God will provide. He will make a way. We're counting on our God. I don't care how dark it looks in this world. Jesus is the light of the world. In fact, the church is the light of the world in this world. Amen? We just need to get out of all that old negative stuff. Get out of that. Don't repeat that garbage. Don't buy into it and participate in it and feel like you're so spiritual with your righteous indignation. You sound like a Pharisee. Instead, act like Jesus and encourage people and lift people up with the words of your mouth. Have something encouraging to say. Just saying. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, so we always build up and strengthen and encourage. One of the greatest youth pastors of our time is Jeannie Mayo, and Carmen and I heard her speak at a youth pastor's retreat, I guess 30-something years ago, and she talked about encouragement as being frog kissing. She said, you're going to have to do some frog kissing. And what she was talking about is that so often, you know, in youth ministry, you see these young people come in that don't know the Lord, and man, they're pretty rough. I mean, their life is a mess, headed the wrong way, and you're just like, oh my goodness. But you start encouraging them, and they start changing. It's that, like the story of the beautiful princess that kisses the toad and it turns into a handsome prince. And I just want to clarify here, this is not dating advice. No, I'm serious. There's some young women that think that they're going to kiss this toad and he's going to be the man of their dreams. Listen, you can encourage him. You don't get to kiss him until he is that prince. Just saying. But here's what we all need to take away from this, is talking about frog kissing. You can have a part in changing somebody's life. Now, with youth ministry and children's ministry, a lot of times you see the transformation happen a lot faster. And as adults, we can be pretty set in our ways. But I tell you, the principle still works. If you look for the good in people and encourage them and build them up, let them know that God has something good planned for them. Let them know that God is going to bless them. And that, listen, a lot of them are so beat down with who they are, they think that they can't ever be anything. But you start encouraging them, I'm telling you, it may be the thing that God used to turn their life around. So we got to do this. Encourage one another daily. Not accidentally. Certainly as you go through your day, you ought to be quick to say nice things and encourage other people. But I think that we need to make it intentional. There are people in our life that need encouragement, and we need to prayerfully decide that we're going to encourage this person and have something good to say to them. And sometimes you need to pray about it and ask the Lord how you can encourage them. God may give you a word from the scripture that will be just what they needed to hear to get them through their battle. I know that for Carmen and myself, that has happened to us many times. If somebody had a word for us that just helped us to get through that battle. A word of encouragement. Pray about it. Ask God how He would use you. And this week, as every week, we have homework. It's pretty simple. Encourage one another daily. Look for those opportunities with your family, your co-workers, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Encourage one another daily. Let's make it a way of life. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank you that you know right where we are in our life and right exactly what we need. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that by your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each one, minister to each one, and do a work in each one today. I pray, Father, especially for those that have come to this service that are discouraged. I pray, Father, that you would send brothers and sisters in Christ by their way just to let them know they're not forgotten, that they are loved, that there are people that are praying for them. And Father, I just pray that you raise up in this body of believers great encouragers. Oh, Father, that we'll just begin to see the fruit of encouragement in this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.